Good evening, everyone. It's daylight savings time, and we were out and about, and we just remembered, about 45 minutes ago, that it was daylight savings time, and we rushed home. I'm hoping that everyone is enjoying this week, enjoying the new shift within spring, and is looking forward to many opportunities in 2010. I wanted to, tonight, I'd like to discuss what's happening with people, mostly males, around our country and in some parts of the world. And I think that this is an important conversation to have, because people who are in my position, I like working with males quite a bit. And usually the younger males are the toughest to come see me. Either their mothers have to bring them here, or their girlfriends, or their wives, or something. But they are the ones who use the information the most. They really, when we sit down and we talk, for however long that is, I don't really set a specific time limit when the information is delivered, when the interpretation is done, and when the client understands, then he takes the information further. But I will say that males, usually males anywhere, between, maybe 15. I just did a reading today for a 15-year-old male turning 16 with his mom, from 15 up to about early 40s, will really take the information and create the change in their life that's needed. So I have seen this group of people use the information, I guess one could say, more assertively than any other group. There's some people that wait for a certain time, or they procrastinate, or they fall back into their old patterns. Or if it's these real mystified New Ager type people, they'll wait for, you know, maybe a whisper in their ear or something, divine intervention. I'm not too certain what they wait for. But on a more practical level, the males are the toughest to get in through the door, but they are the most assertive once they get the information and they make the changes. Now, today I want to discuss the processes that males are going through in our country, because it involves our future. And I'm going to be discussing this, and I do welcome people to call in if you have questions about a birth date, because I can give a lot of information about the birth date. If you have a birth time, I could give even more accurate information. And what we're going to be looking for is the balance that people have in their charts, in their birthdays. It's like a blueprint that one comes in with for their pathway. And I can pretty much determine what's happening with the intellect, the emotional, and within the material. But what I want to discuss with you this evening is the processes that males are going through in our country today. And it's affected people worldwide. It's affected people in Western civilization. Whether you're aware of it or not, we are pulling up out of what was considered the Great Recession that lasted for 2 years. And that's what it's known as. That's the title. So that's what it's called. But it's just, to me, it's something that had to happen, because it moves just like the forces of nature. When a quantity gets too high, there's pressure forces that comes in to break it all down. And let's face it, that quantity just got way too high. I mean, there's no way that something like that could last. You can refer to it as a bubble. I refer to it as just over excess. It was too excessive. I mean, let's really be real here. It was just too excessive, and to think that we could continue living so excessively is very naive. So if people are aware of the movements in nature, nature does have a force that comes in to break down that quantity. It's just in too much of an excess. So you could see it it's a cycle, and it had to happen. So it was difficult, but if people remained in their higher will and continued to work towards making humanity a better place, then their difficulties weren't as grave. But the ones who lived in excess, way over consumption and too much exploitation, they felt the pinch the greatest. And it well should be. It's like nature is a parent that came and had to discipline the unruly children. Let's put things in moderation, kids. So anyway, the points have risen and we're pulling up out of this, and each month it gets better and better. What's considered the Great Recession is basically coming to an end. Unemployment is not. What would really bring us up out of this is small businesses being able to rehire, or new small businesses coming forward. This is a fantastic time for innovation and to work with all kinds of reform. And I'll discuss this later, but it is the time to switch gears, and that's all that there is to it. It's time to switch gears. It's time to be innovative. It's time to bring forth new ideas. It's time to bring forth new methods. And it's time to have inclusion. And if people aren't working towards a greater inclusion within humanity, if they're not going to bring their gifts and talents and skills forward to benefit humanity as a whole, I'm just not too certain of how well the people will fare. To me, it's a matter of, don't you, you know, wake up? Haven't you gotten it yet? Don't you understand? So, and I'll discuss that a little bit more later, because it's, as I said about 2010, it can be very challenging. But for the people who want to remain stationary within that obelisk one, you know, when on either side of it is like Pluto energy, or what's considered the God energy, which is more movement than anything else. And the movement, the one, is between the left and right, the yin and yang, the power of God on either side. And the power of God is trying to move that one over to the two. If the one isn't going to move over, well, it will be moved over somehow, whether kicking and screaming or whether broken down into other parts, it doesn't matter. The force of spirit, the force of nature, is much stronger than little teeny weeny egos think. That, you know, it's just much, much stronger, and it's not anything to do with power. It's just, it is what it is. Let's discuss the males in our country, because we're looking at the very fabric of America. If one leans towards the mythology of what's considered the fabric of our country, the fabric of our country is basically built upon the individual. And that's what's knitted the fabric together. It's not based on politics, and it's not based on government, and it's not based on corporations, and it's not based on religion. It's based on the individual. And it's the individuals who have either tried to take the country for a ride, like our last president. There's a lot of people who feel as if he ought to be tried for war crimes. Or the individuals have really made a difference or tried to create change, which is within the movement of natures, like our present president's doing. When we look at the fabric of what's considered I'm not even too certain if we could call it ideologies any longer, because the ideologies are all broken, and the ideologies have been, you know, they've been manipulated, they've been misconstrued, they've been torn apart. So we don't really exist off of that ideology. If we do, it's a disillusionment and disenchantment of what the ideologies originally meant. And our last president manipulated the whole Constitution for his own benefit, which is very sad. It was just this runaway type activity going on. So I don't see this country as based any longer on those ideologies. I do see it based on individualism. And with individuals, we need to have our choice. And we need to have a choice that if we want to live within the mythology of the quote fabric, unquote fabric of America, those choices should be there and they should be honored and respected by other people. That being said, because of the economy within the last couple of years, it's had a huge effect on our sociology in the country. It's had a very, and psychology, more so the psychology, which would affect the sociology. But due to the high rate of unemployment, which is what we're looking at now, and that's why President Obama wants to give small businesses tax breaks. And this is a wonderful time to create a small business, because the tax breaks with this are beneficial, because we need to employ we need to get people employed again, especially the males, because our workforce is being taken over by the females, only because healthcare and education and counseling, things like that they were involved with, really didn't feel the big pinch. A lot of males worked in construction, manufacturing, and finance. And those were the three that was hit very, very strongly. And so the males who did work finance, manufacturing, and finance see today that they can't find employment in this. I strongly suggest, and it's not that I have a definitive voice, so it's, like I said, it is a suggestion. You have to retrain. You have to let go of the old. It just has to be done. And it's a great time to be more innovative and bring forth, you know, these things that you really wanted to do through heart. To wait for something like finance, manufacturing, and construction to repair itself, so that one can go back to making this large amount of money they did before, I think is, you know, to be straightforward, kind of foolhardy, because it's not going to change back to that. Everything around us, the universe and nature, moves with change. And this is very important, and it moves to go to a higher octave, not a lower one. And it doesn't backstep. So we, in order for us to even survive, we should go with this change, and we should go to a higher octave inside of ourselves, within that personal involution. The difficulty lies in, I don't know how many people have felt this, I guess because I'm sensitive, I have felt it very strongly during the last couple of years. There's been a mean-spirited discordance within what I call the veil. And the veil to me is the powerful thought process that comes up from the emotions of people that join together in this veil. And the veil has been swollen and kind of a little overbloated with fear and anxiety and guilt and all kinds of stuff. But there's been this mean-spiritedness that exists, and more of an isolation and more of a separation the last couple of years, because a lot of people have been trembling in their homes, worrying about losing possessions, worrying about losing their homes, where, you know, just so much worry, not being able to pay the bills, not being able to pay these very high mortgages or these high interest rates, and always constantly dealing with banks and corporations and gas and all these things during this terrible time, raising their prices, raising rates, which I just think doesn't involve inclusion at all. But the difficulty lies in the fact that the males who have been in manufacturing, construction, and finances, who have been unemployed for a period of time, it's taken a psychological toll on them. And it's gotten into what I guess you could call the id, but I just call it the subconscious. And when people apply for jobs and apply for jobs and send out resumes and they keep getting rejected, it takes a psychological toll on these people. And the fear brings out a more mean-spirited quality in them. And so they begin to hurt the people around them because they're hurting inside. And within families, they could hurt wives and they can hurt children. And then they could start leaning towards illusionary solutions, which is drugs, alcohols, porno, whatever, gambling or whatever. And the difficulty lies in that this could stay within their id, within their subconscious for a long time. And it could shift females' views of wanting to maintain having a child on her own. Why get into these huge dynamics? Why sacrifice so much just to maintain a unit? So even young people aren't looking at marriage as being a fabric, as a part of the fabric, due to what they're watching. The older we the older generation going through, the baby boomers. So it's eliminating choice and bringing out individualism more. A lot of young people today feel why go and work, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week or three different jobs just to have, you know, a plasma TV, you know, a new home, a new car, yada, it all doesn't make sense because something could just come along and wipe that all out, which is true. So they're not willing to put in those long hours, which, you know, the Native Americans never felt that one should work over 3-4 hours a day, and I kind of lean towards that. I think there has to be time for play. There has to be time for relaxation. There has to be time for mostly friends and family, what the Hawaiians call hana. But, you know, that's just my opinion, which doesn't, you know, it doesn't qualify as being effective. But what we're looking at is people, we're looking at the males in our nation who have been almost castrated, and especially white males, they're just not. It's not within these three industries. It's not there for them, and just because they're white doesn't mean that it's just going to erupt out of a crack in the earth. So there's a lot of disparity, there's a lot of despondency, and there's a lot of depression. And people who work within the field that I work in should really be opening ourselves up more to helping these people, because when we reach out to help, say, the males within these groups, we're helping the whole family unit. Where it's a ripple, an extended ripple effect. We're helping, you know, the parents around there, the cousins, or whoever else is within the animals, the plants, the trees, everything that is centered around this person. I highly suggest, instead of lecturing these people or turning our back on them, because it's, you know, it's just the frailty of the human nature to be to go to a place of depression and hopelessness when things just don't, you know, happen for us. But what we need to do is to not so much direct them, but encourage them to be a little bit more demonstrative, to be, to talk about this, whether it's in groups or whether as a friend or a lover or a spouse or a father or a brother, to sit down and ask them to, you know, give them a chance to share these feelings. And then the best suggestion that we give should give to them is for them to feel more, is to be more innovative, is to be more creative. Just because these industries have collapsed, trust me, there are so many things within this country and in this world globally that needs new methodology, new technology, new ideas to get them better, that it really has nothing to do with manufacturing, finance, and construction. I mean, just nothing. These are things that exist to exploit and make as much money as we possibly can. The markups on some of this cheap crap we get is unbelievable. You know, these things that we trust to buy to maintain our homes, maintain our lifestyles, to help us make our lifestyle a little easier, are just designed to be, you know, paper thin. They remind me of that cacti called the paper thorns, and it's a beautiful cacti, but if you just bump it, you know, its little heads start popping off and all the little paper thorns start falling apart. And that's what these gadgets and things today remind me of. It's just so delicate that, and it's not made to last, which doesn't enhance our life at all. We're just, you know, fueling these corporations. Oh, well, here's some more money so I can vacuum clean my rugs. What we should talk to, males that are going through the depression, going through the anger, going through the disparity, by talking with them about being a little bit more creative. And creative only means to take something as it exists and turn it. And right now, there has to be so much reform on our planet. And we really need more innovative thinkers. And I suspect that there's a high percentage of the people that are unemployed that have always felt within their heart that they should be doing something else, something better to help humanity forward. And they need to get in touch with this and start using this passion, this creativity, this innovation. Because this is the time to bring it forth, and this is the year to begin it. If one is going to sit around moping, hurting the people around them, running to the bar, that's stagnation, and if there's going to be a collapse. And if the wife and kids leave, well, you know, who wants to be sitting in the stagnant pool that Mother Nature is just going to come along and dissolve down? And the whole thing with stagnation is that it's broken, it's always broken down and loses its identity to become something else. So we need to reach out. We need to reach out to people and that are still experiencing this depression, and we need to start thinking about innovative ways of, if this is the business that, especially this in the service industry, if this is a business we've always thought that could come forth and benefit humanity, now's a time to do it. But if we come from a place, I did a lecture the other night in Sedona, and there's a highly creative man there, but he was also a master builder, so I knew that he was creating a lot of different businesses. But all the businesses failed. I mean, there must have been 5 or 6 of them. And they failed because they didn't come from his heart. It was just this idea that he had to make money. And it didn't come from his heart, so how could it possibly become successful? What energy are you applying to it? If you're just saying, oh, well, you know, I want to develop a pen that writes rainbow colors so that I can make a patent and have my own invention to make a lot of money, well, I don't see what the chances are of something like that becoming successful. But if someone wanted to design a pen that, say, a cerebral palsy, especially someone with someone who had more spasms, spastic athetoid paraplegia, you know, they would probably be looking at a higher chance of being successful. But if they were looking at this, you know, to create millions, which a lot of people do in this country and in the world, I want to be a millionaire. For what? And they always put that first. And that's, you see, you really have to look at spirit as life. Mental is a builder, and the physical is a result. In Western civilization, we tend to put the physical first, and that's it doesn't work that way. It's completely backwards. It just, spirit is life, mental is a builder, physical is the result. You put the spirit, you put the benevolence, you put the love, you put the emotion, you put the creativity, you put that into it first, the passion. The spirit of who you are. First, you bring forth your gifts and your talents. Just to develop something is like getting an erector set and putting those little screws together and expecting the world to applaud you and make you a millionaire. So, this time's very, very important. And I know that some healers, you know, listen to BBS and It's not so much as going forth and channeling and bringing forth this information from some galactical source. And it's not the idea of being so naive as to distance people with some esoteric philosophy or some New Age guilt that no one can, you know, who needs to feel such a thing? But what it is a time now to embrace these people with understanding, and in embrace with understanding that this is a human condition. This is part of us being frail, and no man is made as a monument. We're all very, very fragile and very vulnerable, and we need to speak to them about being more innovative. Speak to them that if there is hope, but you have to bring this forth. Like the gentleman that was in the class, he used his he was very, very creative, in fact very artistic, but he didn't use these abilities. His only the creativity he did use was in thinking of a new business so that he can hurry up and make money, which a lot of people do. How much money? What can I do to make a lot of money at this point? Well, you reap what you sow. What have you done to build up to this point? What are your skills? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What have you, you know, developed to get to this point? Well, I developed a pen that writes in rainbow colors. Well, you know, good for you, but, you're, you know, let's look at the reality within your life. and let's look at you reap what you sow. So today is a now, within the moment now, and we can't just turn our backs and say, you know, that's their problem, because it's not. A few weeks ago, I had a disturbing conversation with a very good friend of mine who's been a friend for 30 some years, and I knew her back in Philadelphia, and she's an elderly woman now in her 80s, mid-80s, I think, and she lives at this manor, the Medford Manor, which is this enormous assisted care home. It has hundreds and hundreds of residents there. And she was telling me, we were talking about health care, and she was telling me that 90% of, and this is the older generation, the elders, 90% of the elders there were aware that half of our country didn't have health care, and the main consensus was, well, who cares? I do. I don't care whether they have it or not. You know, we're not living in those times anymore. We're not living with that separation anymore. And this is the thing, you know, with the people that were involved with finances and manufacturing and construction. Well, yeah, they brought the economy down, but, you know, that happened, you know, yesterday. That's not happening now. What's happening now is for us to reach out to them as brothers and sisters, to try to trigger them to be a little bit more innovative, be more creative, be more passionate. Or the fabric in America is not, we won't have the choices that are there. You know, the choices for a child to be raised in a unit of mother and father, it's just going to lean towards more individual strife. And there's enough individual strife. There's so much individualism here, which is fine, but the individualism has gotten to the point of total separation, for everybody grabbing, you know, trying to get up the mountain to find their pot of gold, which is, you know, so many people are jumping for this that there's a separation, and we're going to become more and more separate due to the effects of the economy in the last couple of years. So if we want to have greater hope for our children and have them in a secure family unit, if we want to see the fabric be more, be a stronger foundation that could raise children and that can bring people out into the community more, because when males do get married, they're more civic minded. They spend more time with family. They're involved more in the local spiritual groups, religion, churches, whatever. They're spending more time in the community doing things. Socioeconomics always improve when people are joined. It doesn't necessarily have to be marriage, but when they're joined together, because they have a certain peace that they found who they're looking for, and they're not out being speculative and whimsical. So we want to see, you know, something a little bit stronger within our fabric, and have the units come out more into the world and make things better by starting within their own core. But as the cores exist now, it's breaking down. And what the young people are seeing is not really setting up very good ideals for them to embrace, and no principles whatsoever. So we want to help open our friends and family members that are experiencing this, because I'll tell you something. This is America, and if American men aren't going to be innovated, and if they're going to continue licking their wounds and being depressed and making everybody around them pay for this, the higher up Americans are just going to start importing the talent that they need. And that's what makes this, part of what makes this country so great, is that some of the best talent in the world has immigrated here to America, and corporations and companies and businesses bring them here. So it's either we help uplift them through compassion and through wisdom, or they're just going to miss their seat on the bus. Somebody else is going to be brought in to fulfill their position. Or, you know, new talent is just going to come out of the universities. So between immigration and the universities, America already has opportunities of getting back, but being in a position where there isn't so much sorrow and collapse, because these people will bring in more innovative ideas, they'll bring in greater technology, they'll create new businesses, they'll have new methods, they'll have new ideas. And you can bet your bottom dollar that in every area that exists within America and within the world needs reform, needs improvement. Government's a shambles, that needs greater improvement, greater activism, lobbying, better politicians, medicine, new technology. There has to be a greater bridge between the East and the West. Technology, new technology that's more longer lasting and dependable. Conservation, there has to be greater conservation. The economics has to change. The ecology, every aspect of our lives that we touch needs new methods, needs new ideas, needs new improvement. So as much as I have empathy for people that are going through this challenging time, I also have adamancy to say, okay, go through the grieving process, because it is a loss. Go through the grieving process because it's a loss of the old self. Let that go. The loss of that type of income. Let that go. The loss of a certain type of lifestyle. Let that go. But let's be reborn, just like a snake sheds its skin. It's just time to be reborn. And that's not such a bad thing, because who wants to stay the same poopy, stagnant self? So actually, it's a wonderful thing, and it should be embraced. But the fundamentals, the mythology within our fundamentals doesn't open up to that change, because there's so much pressure put on males. A general consensus or feelings about men and work, especially with families. If a man isn't working, he doesn't feel that he's a man. Well, you know, I don't see how that could take away from the physical aspects of who he is, but if this is so embedded in his psyche, maybe it's time to re-examine that. Also, the women married to these men don't really look at their mate the same way as they did before. There are those ideals and expectations that are placed on that man, which creates a heavier burden. And what has been happening during this economic shift is a lot of women have gone into the workplace, or a lot the income was the household income was based on the woman's work, and there's a fine line of resentment that's been crossed there. And that's another thing that we need to look at, is because we're all human beings, we all have foibles, and we're not infallible. I mean, we are destined to have the same ups and downs as anybody else. It's all the same. If people have been able to maintain a specific lifestyle their entire life, you know, that's wonderful. But on the whole, these things do change. And it's more or less, it's 10% of what happens to us, and it's 90% of how we deal with it. And when you really look at the bottom line and the nitty gritty of why we're here to have that involution inside. So if that 10%, if we turn that over, switch that over, flip-flop it over, if we spend 90% of how we feel and only 10% of how we do with it, then you know, we're not bringing forth the innovation that's needed within humanity, and I'm sorry, but I find that very selfish. You know, and yes, I do believe that there has to be a grieving process, and people should be entitled to their emotions and how they feel, but don't let this year, don't let the opportunities pass you by, your own individual opportunities that you can reach out for. And it's best to remind people of this, because we do want to be happy and we want to live with happier people. We want to live in a world that or a country that's happy, where people are thriving. Because one way or the other, the new ideas are coming in. New methods are coming in, new technologies is coming in, and whether it comes from the individuals who experience some peril, or if it comes from foreigners, it's going to come in one way or the other, because that's what America's about. So, my suggestion, and remember, I'm not a definitive person here. My suggestion is to reach out and help these people. There's too much mean-spiritedness on this planet. There's such a mean-spiritedness of people who don't get their way. There's mean-spiritedness that just exists because of the expectations that the people hold, that they feel as if, you know, they're entitled to, you know, this life of luxury or something, and it's not happening, and they're just, you know, they just become mean-spirited. There's a lot of reasons. My conversation tonight is to encourage us to reach out and speak to these people, help them realize what their full potential is. And this whole conversation isn't about my marketing, but I do have the accurate tools to help individuals by helping them realize what their full positive potential is and basically the route that they should go to develop this for themselves. But if not me, then there's millions of other people in the world that are more than willing to help, and they should be directed towards that person. But if we want to look at a future that's a happier future, then these are things that we have to become a part of, because they're a part of who we are anyway. We can't separate ourselves from this. And there's too much separation in this country as it is, and some of them are by far the most ridiculous things you ever want to hear of. You know, there's separation of cultures, there's separation of religion, there's separation of spirituality, there's separation of skin color. There's even separation of the size of a person. There's a separation of age. It's almost like there's four different species of human beings in America. There's the infants, there's the kids, there's the teens, there's the middle age. And then there's the old, so five. Like they're species, when all it is cycles, one going to the other. And infants turn, can become adults in a short amount of time and then become old in a short amount of time. I mean, it just, the cycles are very swift moving in the material world. So, and we can't separate ourselves from this. We can't hide in our little churches and our little buildings and think that we're so special and everybody else is an idiot. You know, we can't have all these politics and this hierarchy stuff. Well, you know, I'm the Paul. I'm the usher at the Unity Church, and therefore, you know, who cares? You know, therefore, I'm you know, I'm top dog. You know, who cares? What are you doing to help the community? And we have to look at this, because this is what's happening, is we have to look at inclusion. And this is so important. This is where the movement is. There has to be inclusion. There has to be that interconnectedness at all times. And as I said before, the Industrial Revolution and the Enlightened Age has kind of jerked us out of there and compartmentalized everything and separate. That doesn't mean that it's right, and it doesn't mean that that's set inside of us unless we want it to be set. But everything is interconnected, and we will find this more in the invisible than we will in the visible. And we're moving into an age where we are looking deeper into the invisible. I mean, just look at quantum mechanics. We're seeing that our answers lie in the invisible. Well, hello, that's where they've existed for billions of years already. So it's like, are we re-waking up, or what's happening here? So we have to look at ourselves to help other people. We can't be so naive as to say, well, that's their problem, when actually it's ours too. You know, this heavy thought process goes up into a veil that is around all of us, and it could be rather oppressive. And we want to help one another get to the places where each one wants to be, and that's called harmony. The discordant energy is saying, stay in your house, you know, get a shotgun, guard your plasma TV, go out and buy your expensive cuts of meat, don't patronize your local businesses or restaurants anymore, let them fall apart, and make sure that, you know, you get all your possessions in one room and you sit on top of the heap and not worry if your neighbor has been unemployed for over 6 months. And what we should be doing is out talking to one another, looking at ways to be a lot more innovative, to be more creative, to be more passionate, and helping one another to come to these realizations and these goals, and not saying, well, that's his problem. Oh, pity, you know, Agnes and her three children had to leave Daniel because he, you know, was drinking too much because he was unemployed for a year. It's not being invasive, but it's being benevolent and compassionate. It's a great time to think of new businesses, to get help, from the government, not necessarily the lending institutions, because they haven't gotten over that hump yet. It's time to begin, nonprofit organizations. It's a time to group together, get our resources and group together to create something that's a benefit to humankind. But we have to put humanity first, not our individual selves first. We do have to take care of our individual self first, meaning we do have to have that involution, and we have to feel well about ourselves, and we have to feel good about ourselves, and we do have to have that love for ourselves, which is a love for the energies around us through our organic body and the energies within the universe. Then we bring this forward. But to say, well, I want to make $1 million by having this rainbow colored pen and I'm entitled to this, is just, well, that's an illusion. But there is a high possibility of grouping together with other people and creating a pen for people who've had strokes, cerebral palsy, children that need to work more on their fine motor skills, things like that, because such a thing really doesn't exist right now. So there's lots of, and we can't set limitations that, well, you have to do a patent, you have to do this, you have to do that. You know, use your resources. Be creative and use your resources. Don't set limitations up, because we're actually living in a universe that there are no limitations except for in the eyes of the beholder. So let's not create limitations around ourselves. Let's not restrict ourselves. And a lot of people are doing this. They're restricting themselves, limiting themselves, stagnating, waiting for the right time, and procrastinating. And that, I'm sorry, but that doesn't move with the higher forces in nature. It just, there's no movement at all. And I don't see how one could get anything done, because you reap what you sow. If you're not going to put anything out there, and it's not just sending a resume into a whole bunch of companies, it's picking up your gifts, your talents, your skills, your passions, your creativity, and bringing this forward through, and it's an intuitive process, and taking it from there step by step. The whole, all of it revolves around being caught too much in the head. There's not, there has to be a balance between heart and mind. And a lot of males are going to realize that they were only half existing. And if they are guided properly, they'll see that, okay, I can retrain myself. I can be more innovative. I can use my creativity. I can put down the bottle of beer and the Doritos. And I can make a difference in this world, because I always felt that I could. You know, what happened to me, I must have been in some sort of a dream state. So we need to, in order for someone to learn how to use their heart, the best way for them to learn is by our example. And if you can set an example as a person who uses their intuition and their heart and their benevolence, that's the best teaching tool. You know, to sit someone down and say, you will do this, doesn't work. But the best thing that we could do is set an example in front of others of how to use this heart energy. So today it's so important to not turn our backs on the people who have, and especially males who have had difficulty in the last few years. To turn our backs doesn't do anything. You know, that's very rash. It's incredibly self-centered. And I think it's more so than anything else, I think that's very naive. When we need to offer a hand, we need to look at greater inclusion, because what affects one affects all. And that is one thing that this, quote, Great Recession, unquote, has taught us. It has taught us something that nature has been saying for 3 billion years, that everything is interconnected, and what affects one does affect all. You know, there's a reverberation for everything that we do. You can call it a butterfly effect. You can call it whatever you want. I just feel there's a reverberation, and there's a consequence for all our bad energy, that when it goes out, there is going to be consequences and a reverberation due to this. So this, quote, Great Recession, unquote, Great Recession has blatantly shown us what affects one affects all. And if, unfortunately, mankind, humankind, is so anthropological that, you know, we exist within this herd, and, well, are you going to take the innovative step? No, no. Are you going to take the innovative step? No, no, no. We do everything within a tribe. So if we don't get it, then a larger force has to come in and show us. So we have to thank the opportunity to finally see that, oh yes, everything is interconnected. And we have to look at that interconnectedness today. We have to look at how things are woven together today. And we have to go inside this fabric and create harmony and drive the discordance away. Because I'll tell you something, the light always encompasses the dark. If there's been a room that's been very, very dark for many years, I mean many, many years, and someone walks over and throws back the drapery, that light encompasses the dark. There's not a battle going on here. The light encompasses the dark. And no matter what situation, when the light is let in, the light always encompasses the dark. And to leave you with a little story, this comes from ancient Hawaii. The ancient Hawaiians believed that we were all born in front of a ball of light. And the light was actually energy emitting from us. So we always have this light. We have this energy to use. And the energy is unlimited. And it's light. And when you're within the light, you could do almost anything. Because you basically could see what you're doing. So if we start leaning towards jealousy, towards apathy, towards resentment, towards greed, it creates little black stones, and these little black stones go inside this ball of light. And when the stone lowers down, it has taken up that spot of light. And the more that we lean towards the greed, the more that we lean towards the anger, the more that we lean towards being mean-spirited, it creates more and more and more stones. Until finally the bowl is filled with all these stones. And once that bowl is filled up with stones, we turn into a stone. But, and then we're immovable. We can't change. We can't move. We turn into the stone. But anytime we want to, if we no longer want to live this way, all we have to do is take that bowl of stones and turn it upside down. And that means all we have to do is let go. And then it dumps down all the stones and it's refilled with the light. So we need to let go and we need to look at greater inclusion. And I do hope that the people around you, that you can reach out and help them more. Let's help the males. Let's not turn our back on them. Let's help them to be more innovative. Let's reach out to the families. Let's think of businesses we could do together. But let's be compassionate, creative, innovative, and bring forth the passion that's inside of us if we are those males that are experiencing this. And I'm going to sign off and thank you all for listening. Please have a good weekend and a good week. Maluhia.